All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the deep dive. We're going deep today on a Supreme Court case. LeBron v. National Railroad Passenger Corporation, better known as Amtrak, I think, to most folks.
Amtrak, yeah.
So, you know, for all of our law student listeners out there, this case really gets at, like, this fundamental question in constitutional law. You know, when does something that, like, walks and talks like a private company, when is it actually bound by the Constitution in the same way the government is?
It's a tricky question, right? And, you know, LeBron, it's a perfect illustration. I mean, imagine this, right? You've got this guy, Michael LeBron. He wants to put up a billboard ad. It's in Penn Station. He wants to criticize Coors Beer. Political statement, right?
Sounds like free speech territory to me.
Exactly. But Amtrak, they own the station, and they've got this policy, no political ads, boom, rejected. So now what? You've got the First Amendment, you've got a company's policy, like, where's the line? When does the Constitution, like, step in and say, hold on, you can't do that?
And that's where Amtrak's whole structure just makes this case so fascinating, right? I mean, Congress created Amtrak. It's right there in the Rail Passenger Service Act. They appoint a bunch of the board members. But then you look at Amtrak's charter, and it says for-profit corporation, not a government agency. So it's like, which is it?
Total hybrid, right. And that's the crux of it. This case really boils down to that. Created by the government, but operating in the business world. How do you untangle that? And it's worth mentioning, even though the Supreme Court really zeroed in on the First Amendment part of it, LeBron's lawsuit, it also brought up a Fifth Amendment due process claim.
Oh, interesting. So there were two constitutional angles to this case, at least initially.
Yeah, it's there in the background, even if it didn't end up being the main event. But yeah, so this case, it starts in district court, and the judge there, they actually sided with LeBron, said, yep, Amtrak's a state actor under both the First and Fifth Amendments, really emphasizing those government ties.
It's a pretty big win for LeBron at that point, right?
Totally. But then it goes up to the Court of Appeals, and they flip it. They say, nope. Amtrak's private, and their focus really shifted. They were more interested in whether that specific decision to reject the ad, whether that was state action, not whether Amtrak as a whole was a government entity.
Okay, so two different courts, two very different ways of looking at this.
Yeah, and that sets the stage for the Supreme Court, right? They agree to hear the case, but they frame it very specifically. Is Amtrak a state actor? And in the end, they overturn the appellate court. So the core issue, just to make sure everyone's with us, is Amtrak a government entity? And because of that, does it have to follow the First Amendment, the free speech rules?
Got it. So how does the court even begin to, like, tackle that? What's their reasoning?
Well, they come up with this three-part test. Justice Scalia wrote the opinion, and it's been super influential even beyond this specific case.
Okay, break it down for us. Three-part test, what are we looking at?
All right, so first, was this corporation created by the government through a specific law? With Amtrak, we've got the Rail Passenger Service Act, right? That's not your run-of-the-mill corporation. Congress made this thing happen.
Okay, check. What's the second piece?
Second, does the corporation help the government achieve some goal? Well, with Amtrak, the whole point was to keep passenger rail service alive. Congress decided that was important, something the public needed.
All right, two for two. What's the third part of the test?
Last one, does the government have, like, ongoing control over the corporation? And here, the fact that the government appoints a majority of Amtrak's board of directors, that was huge. It's like saying, we may not be running the day-to-day, but we get to pick who does, and we have the final say.
And I think it's really interesting that Amtrak was trying to argue, like, no, no, look, we're a for-profit corporation. It says so right here in our charter. The court didn't seem to buy that. They were looking beyond the label.
Yeah, that's a huge takeaway here. It's not about what you call yourself. It's about the substance, the reality of how you were created and who's really pulling the strings. I mean, imagine if the government could just create companies, slap a private label on them, and sidestep the Constitution. That'd be a massive loophole.
Yeah, and Justice Scalia actually addressed that directly. I love this quote. It cannot be that government evades the most solemn obligations to resorting to the corporate form. It just gets right to the heart of it. Like, you can't use a corporate shell to escape your constitutional duties.
Exactly. But, you know, the court wasn't unanimous. We got to talk about Justice O'Connor's dissent because she brings up some really important counterpoints.
All right. So what was Justice O'Connor's take on all this?
Okay. So first, she had a problem with the process. She thought the whole question of whether Amtrak was a government entity, she thought that was out of bounds because LeBron's arguments in the lower courts, they'd kind of shifted toward whether the ad rejection itself was state action.
So basically, she thought the court went too far, like They were deciding on something that wasn't properly argued before.
Right, like it was a procedural concern for her. But then she also had a problem with the substance of the decision. She thought Amtrak rejecting the ad, that was just them making a business decision. Like, they had a policy against political ads, and they applied it.
So, in her view, there wasn't any government coercion going on there.
Yeah, and she was worried about the implications, right? If Amtrak is a government entity for everything it does, even the things that look like normal business decisions, well, where does that end? Does every company with even a little government connection suddenly have to follow the whole Constitution? She saw that as blurring the line between public and private way too much.
Right, so it goes back to that distinction we talked about, entity versus action.
Exactly. And you know, it's worth remembering, Amtrak was created back in the 70s at a time when private rail was, like, falling apart.
Yep.
So there's this very clear public purpose behind it from the start.
It wasn't just some random business venture, that's for sure.
So, law students, listen up. This case matters. It sets a precedent. Now, when courts are looking at these weird hybrid entities, part government, part private, they're going to be asking the LeBron questions. Was it created by a specific government law? Does it help the government do something? Does the government control it? If the answer is yes to those questions, it doesn't matter if it calls itself private. The Constitution probably applies. Think about the Postal Service, Fannie Mae, all sorts of entities could be affected by this.
Wow, yeah. So this case is like a roadmap for anyone who wants to argue that a company, even if it looks private, should be held to constitutional standards.
Exactly. It's a blueprint. And the big takeaway is that the government can't hide behind corporations. They can't use them to, like, dodge the Bill of Rights. It's about control. It's about purpose, not just what's written on a piece of paper.
So it's really a reminder that, like, in constitutional law, sometimes things aren't what they seem. And that brings us to our final thought, right? I mean, does LeBron give us a clear, easy answer for how to deal with all these situations where government and business overlap? Or does it maybe create more questions than it answers? And what about the stuff beyond free speech? Does this reasoning apply in other areas of law too? That's something to keep chewing on. Thanks for being with us for this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks everyone.
We'll see you next time.